Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
2017, but I don't know, with the new year also comes evaluation. I don't know if you do this, but for myself, as I come to the end of a year, I look back at the previous year, I look back at some things in my life and goals that I set at the beginning of last year, and did I meet those goals, and didn't I meet those goals, and what do I want to improve, what didn't I finish strong with that I want to change. I don't know about you, I think it's very popular for people to make some goals. Some make health goals. Anybody making health goals this year? Not too many of you. I'm going to raise my hand. I'm making some health goals. I kind of got off the wagon a little bit and making some health goals. Gym memberships go through the roof. And in fact, I was reading something about one gym, and they say at the beginning of the year, for that first week or two, they bring out all this extra equipment because all these other people are making these New Year's resolutions. We're going to get healthy. We're going to get back to the gym. But about 10 days, 2 weeks into it, they pull all that equipment back out because everybody's given up, you know? But maybe your healthier lifestyle, maybe it's your finances. Maybe you look back and you say, wow, did we really spend all of that at Christmas time? And you know, the statements start coming in January and you go, oh, we really need to do something. We need to make a resolution. We got to figure this out. You know, we need some Dave Ramsey. Anybody know Dave Ramsey? He's got some really great stuff. But man, we need to make some changes in our finances. This year we're going to begin. We're going to get out of debt, you know, and all of that. Maybe it's some relationship goals. I'm going to work on my marriage. I'm going to work on my family. We're going to make some changes. Or maybe there's some spiritual goals. I'm going to start reading the Bible more. I don't know about you. I find that I need a plan when I read the Bible. And so I was on YouVersion, finished up my Bible plan from last year. I was looking at the Bible plan and starting a Bible plan for this year. And I encourage you to do that. If you got a smartphone, YouVersion is free and they've got free Bible plans and it'll help you, because reading God's Word is really what's going to make a difference. But I want to encourage you. Sometimes we start these things, we have good intentions, we really want to start out in the right ways with the right things, we get all excited, but how many of you know that there are certain plans that we have that we never meet? You know what I'm talking about? You know, I'm not trying to be sarcastic or anything, because I believe in setting goals. I've talked about it. I believe in setting goals. I believe that setting goals is important. I believe in the things that we do, but I also know human nature. You know human nature? Human nature wants and desires to do things often and better. We want to do things more, but human nature often fails at those things. You know, it's nothing new. In fact, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 35, Peter declared this as Jesus was telling his disciples, listen, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. You know, and listen, this is what's going to happen. And you're going to deny me. You're going to deny even knowing me. You're going to scatter. And Peter says this in Matthew 26, 35, Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I'll never disown you. And we look at that and we say, that's Peter. But look what the line that follows. And all the other disciples said the same. They all said the same. They all had good intentions. Yet when they went to the Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus is praying, knowing what's going to come, and he's agonizing in prayer, and he says, listen, keep watch with me. Will you keep watch with me? And he goes back. After he goes a little way to pray by himself, he comes back. And what are they doing? Like many of you, because you stayed up way too late last night to ring in the new year, are going to be falling asleep. That's what they were doing. They were falling asleep. And he came back and he found him sleeping, and he says, couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter, watch and pray so that you don't fall into temptation. Why? Here's what he says. The spirit is willing, but what? The flesh is weak. How many know that as we start out a new year and we set these goals and we evaluate and we look and we go, we're going to make these changes. I'm going to make these changes in my life. I'm going to do this different in my life. This is going to be different. How many know? We all are kind of like Peter and the disciples. We have a spirit that is willing, that says, yes, this is what needs to change. This is what I need to do. But how many know the spirit is willing, but human nature, what is it? The flesh is weak, isn't it? The flesh is weak. The flesh is weak to obey. In fact, it kind of reminds me of what Paul was talking about, his declaration in Romans chapter 7, 18 and 19. He said, for I know the good itself does not dwell in me. Good itself doesn't dwell in me. That is, in my sinful nature. For I have a desire to do what is good. How many have a desire to do what is good? You're like Paul. I have a desire to do what is good. I have a desire to do it. But look what he says. I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. This is the problem. This is the problem. This is the problem with New Year's resolutions. This is the problem with goals. In our own strength, when we look at it, we can evaluate and we can say, no, I know that needs to change. In my head, I know it. And you know what? I want to change. I want to make those changes. I want to do something different. I want to make it a priority. I'm going to get more. I'm going to get back to church on a regular basis. I'm going to get more spiritual. I'm going to join that small group. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to exercise and get more healthy. I'm going to work on my marriage. And the Spirit is willing. But how many know, just like what Paul talked about, you know, I'm going to break that sin habit, whatever it is. Man, the good I want to do, I can't carry it out. And the evil I want to do, this I keep on doing. I don't want to do that, but I keep on doing it. You know, that is the problem. And so as we come to the table of the Lord today, and Jesus called what Jesus called the Last Supper, oftentimes in Scripture, the Last Supper, we talk about as Holy Communion. It's really the beginning of a new season. When Jesus brought his disciples together and he began this time with them, he was saying, listen, I'm about to usher in something new. I'm about to usher in a new season, a new season. And what he calls it the new covenant. See, there was the old covenant. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But he says, I'm bringing to you a new covenant. Luke chapter 22 and verse 20 reads this, in the same way after supper, he, meaning Jesus, took the cup saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. New covenant. What is that? And that's what I want to spend a little bit of time talking about today, is the idea of covenant, the old covenant and the covenants that happen. And we're going to look at three covenants today, two covenants that happen in the Old Testament and this idea of the new covenant as we enter into a new year. What is that? Well, to understand and define covenant just in simple terms, I could get a whole lot more because it's more than just a contract. It's a formal agreement. It's more than just a simple contract that you sign, and if you break, oh well, I broke that, you know, forgive me, there's a little bit of a penalty. No, this was an eternal covenant. A covenant was something that was really, really a formal agreement, and it was serious business. It was serious stuff. A covenant could happen between two people. It could be a treaty between two nations, or a relationship between God and a human individual or a nation. And it's that last covenant that we're going to focus on today. And that covenant has to do with the promises that God made. Promises that God made to Abraham. Promises that God made to Israel. And promises through Jesus Christ that God makes to you and I. And how many know that God keeps His promises? Amen? The first covenant that we see is a covenant with Abraham. A covenant with Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant it might be. And this was an unconditional covenant. This was a covenant that was given and there was not conditions with it. It wasn't Abraham, if you do this, then I will do this. God simply says to Abraham, this is what I want to do for you. Genesis 15, 1 through 5, Abraham has a vision. It says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. This before his name was Abraham. He said, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your very great reward. Now that'd be good stuff. But Abram said, oh, sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, and this is the covenant. This is the promise. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. And he took him outside and he said, look to the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Now the problem was Abraham was old and advanced in years. His wife was old and advanced in years. And this would seem a problem. And yet this was the promise that God was making. But look what Abram did. And this is what sealed the agreement. This is what sealed it. Look what Abram did in verse 6 of Genesis 15. This is what it says. Abram believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. That is the landmark foundation for justification by faith. In fact, it's what Paul will later on talk about in Romans chapter 4 and Galatians 3 when he makes his appeal that, listen, the promises that God makes, we receive them by grace. We don't receive them by works. We don't receive them by merit. They are received by grace. The promise was unconditional, and Abram took God at his word. Abraham took God at his word. God then repeated the promise of Abraham and what he was going to give him in the land of Canaan when so long ago he called him out of Mesopotamia, and Abram believed the Lord and followed and obeyed what he felt the Lord was leading him. Again, he renews that promise in verse 7 of chapter 15. He renews the promise, and then Abram asks for some advice, some evidence in verse 8, and God says, listen, get some animals together. Get some animals together because we're going to have a sacrifice. Get some animals together. Prepare those animals. Why? Because they were getting ready for the covenant ceremony. Whenever there was a covenant ceremony that followed. And so he says, listen, I want you to get the animals and prepare. So this is what Abraham did. Abraham cut. He was Abram at that time. What he did is he cut the animals in half and he laid the halves on either side. And he began to prepare the sacrifice. And there was some time before God showed up. There was some time. And Abram fell into a deep sleep. Verse 12 tells us he fell into a deep sleep. And then he had this vision and God began to speak to him more promises. Know for certain your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own. They will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years, but I will punish that nation and they will serve as slaves. And afterward, they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace, be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sign of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. And you say, well, what is all of that? What God's telling him is, listen, in your time frame, my promise isn't going to be fulfilled just in your time frame. This promise is for your children. That's why I'm telling you that you're going to have children that are going to count the number in the skies. This is going to be for Isaac, who's going to follow. And this is going to be for Jacob, your descendant. And this is going to be for the nation. And listen, here's what's going to happen. They are going to go to Egypt. They're going to go away from this land for a while because my punishment hasn't yet come, because it hasn't reached its full potential. Sin hasn't reached its full potential. They're going to go away in Egypt. I'm going to preserve them for a while. But after 400 years, I'm going to bring them back. That was when they were captive. And this was all prophesied ahead of time. And just like it was prophesied, that's what came to be. But God didn't say, if you do this, I will do this. God said, listen, this is what I'm going to do for you. And this is the process that it's going to take. That's what God does. That's the kind of covenant. When God made a covenant with Abraham, it was unconditional. Abram received it by grace and God fulfilled it later on. Now later, when it seemed like, after this dream, something peculiar happened. Genesis 15, 17, and 18. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot and blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. Now God is showing up and as the smoking fire pot and blazing torch. That's a picture of God. And what we see in this ancient custom of making a covenant, animals, as I said, were cut in half, arranged in two rows, and people making the covenant would literally walk between the halves that took the oath. They would walk between those halves, and literally what they were saying is, and this is kind of gruesome, but if I break this covenant, if I break my part of the agreement, then let me be cut in half like one of these animals. It was kind of bloody, but that what they're talking about is how serious it was when you cut a covenant. Now, what's really interesting here is Abraham doesn't walk through this, only God does. Saying that, Abraham, this is not on you to fulfill, this is on me. This is not on your effort, this is not on your ability, because God knew that there is no way that Abraham could do it on his own. Abraham would not be able to fulfill that promise on his own. God walked through, and God was responsible for keeping the covenant promise that he had made. And how many know that if you continue to read throughout the Old Testament, you know that God kept his promise, didn't he? He cut a covenant. He cut a covenant, and later on in Genesis chapter 17, he renews and confirms that covenant again. I'm not going to read all of it, so Jim, we're going to skip ahead. Genesis 17, 1 through 8, you can read it. It's in your app notes. You can check it out there. But basically, there is a sign. He renews all the covenant. He says, listen, this is what it's going to be. But then he gives him a sign. He gives him a sign in this. And Genesis 17, 9 to 11 tells about the sign that happens. And it says this, God said to him, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You're to undergo circumcision, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and you. And it goes on to say about for generations that this is going to happen. Why? Because circumcision was to be the sign of the everlasting covenant between God and Abraham and his descendants. So any time that the circumcision took place, it was a reminder of God's promise. The sign was a reminder of God's promise, a reminder that God keeps his promise and God keeps his covenant. The second covenant that was there, it was the covenant at Mount Sinai. And I want to skip to the book of Exodus. This was a conditional, whereas the Abrahamic covenant was unconditional. The covenant that was made with Moses and the people of Israel in Sinai was a conditional covenant. We're going to see it in just a moment. It had conditions to it. The first thing that we notice is the people agreed to obey. And it had been 400 years. They'd been enslaved in Egypt. God did what he said. He brought them out of Egypt. He brought them out and he was promising he was going to take them to the promised land. But before he does that, he leads them into the wilderness. God has done everything he said. They didn't do anything to deserve it. They were slaves in a land that was not their own. Egypt was a much powerful, more powerful army. They were enslaved. They couldn't get out on their own. I want you to know that. They couldn't get out on your own. If you're feeling enslaved today and you say, man, I just don't know how I'm going to do it. You need Jesus because you can't get out on your own. All right, that's extra. You can't get out on your own. It was God's promise who brought them out. It was God, and God brought them out. But God, when God brought them out, he brought them to the mountain, Mount Sinai, and he wanted to meet with them there, and he was about to make a covenant with them there. And this is what it says, Exodus 19, 5 through 8. God said, now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now, how many have ever read 1 Peter before? How many of you know that we're a kingdom of priests and a holy nation? Those who place their faith in Jesus. I just want that to see the parallels there. And he told Moses, these are the words you will speak to the Israelites. So Moses went back, summoned the elders and the people, and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. And here's how the people responded. So God is saying, listen, I want to make my covenant with you. If you will do this, this is what I'm going to do. And look at the people's response. We will do everything the Lord has said. We'll do everything the Lord has said. And that's what God is doing. God is laying out, speaking to them, his covenant or his commandments, the Ten Commandments that we see. And there was a lot more that went. But God would have spoken the rest of the covenant to them directly too. But look what happened. They were frightened. Exodus 20, 18 and 19. When the people saw the thunder and the lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain and smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us or we will die. What they were doing is they said, Moses, we can't speak to God directly. We need a mediator. We want you to be the mediator of this covenant. We want you to be the mediator of this covenant. So Moses, a man who had failed just like them, a man with a nature just like theirs, was the mediator of this covenant between God and them. So Moses went up on the mountain. Moses heard from God the Ten Commandments and everything else and all of God's laws and then brought it back and shared it with the people. They didn't hear it from God themselves. But when Moses does this, it's a sign, as Abraham's sign was to emphasize God's promise, the Sinai covenant, the Synaptic covenant, emphasized human responsibilities. That there are responsibilities, human-wise, that we have. And the people obeyed. Agreed to obey. Listen, Exodus 24:3. When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice, everything the Lord had said, we will do. And what did Moses do then? Okay, so it's a covenant, right? So what do you have to do with a covenant? There has to be a sacrifice involved. There has to be a cutting of a covenant. So what does Moses do? Exodus chapter 24, 5 through 8, he prepares a covenant ceremony. He set young Israelite men and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls and fellowship offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls and the other half he sprinkled on the altar. And then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. All right, everything God had spoken to him, Moses prepares in the book of the covenant, and Moses reads it to the people because it's the covenant ceremony. And here's what the people responded. It says they responded, we will do everything the Lord had said. We will obey. The Spirit was willing. The Spirit was willing. We will obey. We're going to do this. And so what does Moses do? The people are making their covenant with God, all right? Not just God making his covenant with the people. The people here are making the covenant with God. And it says this, Moses then took the blood, he sprinkled it on the people and said, this is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance to all these words. The animals had been killed, and the people came under the covenant. Why? Through what? Through the sprinkling of blood. They made a covenant with God. God, we're going to do what you said. We're going to do what you said. We're going to do what you said. And these tablets, these commandments were written on tablets of stone. They were the tablets of the covenant. They were placed in the Ark of the Covenant. They were the core of the synaptic, or the old covenant, the Old Testament. Exodus 20 to 24 shows all of that. Exodus 31, 13 to 17, we see that there was a sign, just like circumcision was a sign. In Exodus 31, we see another sign. You know what the sign was? The sign was the Sabbath. The Sabbath. That's why there was so much in the early church and so much over the Sabbath. People got upset with Jesus when he did miracles on the Sabbath. You worked on the Sabbath. Why? Because the Sabbath was a sign of the old covenant. And just like with circumcision in the early church, they got so upset with circumcision because it was a sign of the Abrahamic covenant. But there was a new covenant that Jesus was bringing in. Sabbath might have been a perpetual reminder of the covenant that God had made. But Jesus, when he brings his disciples to the table of the Lord, when he brings them to that last supper and that table, he's saying, I am making a new covenant with you. A new covenant. Why? Why did he need to make a new covenant? What was wrong with the old covenant? What was wrong with that old covenant? If he made that promise, there was nothing wrong with the Abrahamic covenant. God was still fulfilling the promise he had made to Abraham. That was eternal and that continued. The problem was with the covenant they made at Sinai. The problem was not so much with the covenant. The problem was with the people. The problem was with the people. Hebrews chapter 8 talks all about that. You can read Hebrews 8, 5, and 6 on your own about better promises and Jesus being a better way and all of that. But here's the problem. Hebrews chapter 8, 7 and 8. For if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people. God found fault with the people. Why? Because no matter how hard they tried, no matter how much they wanted to will it to happen, no matter how much they thought they could do, we can do it, we can be strong enough, we can be tough enough, we will obey you, God, we will be able to keep this, we'll be able to do this, no matter how much they tried, like Paul wrote earlier in Romans chapter 7, the good I want to do, I can't do, and the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. That was the problem. Just like with resolutions on a new day. That's the problem. We have the willingness. We want to do it, but the flesh is weak. And we cannot carry it out. And God, making his promise with Abraham, said, I'm going to fulfill it. And that promise goes all the way back to a promise that God made all the way with Adam and Eve, when Adam and Eve had sinned, and the promise that he made that he would crush the head of the serpent. And how is he going to do that? Through Jesus Christ. And so the fulfillment of the new covenant as Jesus stood before the table of the Lord and as he invited his disciples around and he said, listen, I'm bringing before you a new covenant today. It was an unconditional covenant, not like Sinai covenant that was, if you do this, then I will do this and I'll act on behalf. But like Abraham, it was a covenant that said, listen, I'm going to fulfill it, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to give you the power to be able to do it. The new covenant. Let me unpack a few more things. I know we should be moving right to communion right now. We might be a few minutes late. I'm sorry if you have New Year's plans. Just hang on with me because this is really important. It's really important. God had found had this because he was making a new covenant and he had said, listen, I need a new covenant. But here's what this new covenant did. We gotta skip on down to verse 10, of Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. He's quoting from Jeremiah. The Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, because this wasn't new. God knew that you and I would fail. He knew that you and I did not have the ability to be able to carry out and fulfill the covenant. He knew Israel didn't. That's why God keeps his own promises. That's why God guarantees it, because he knows we can't. So here's what he did. Quoting from Jeremiah 31, he said, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me from least to the greatest. You know what he's saying? In this new covenant, every person's going to have a relationship with me. Every person can have a relationship with me in this new covenant. Every person, I will not just have these external things. It's not just going to be about the external, but instead, I'm going to put my spirit in you. I'm going to write my laws on your heart. I'm going to write my laws on your mind. I'm going to give you the power and the ability to do what you can't do on your own. Why? Because I'm the one who can fulfill it. I'm the one who can fulfill it. I make the covenant, and I can enable you to be able to fulfill the covenant. But like Abraham, what's required? Believe. Believe. They had to believe. Like Abraham, you and I have to believe. We have to take God at His word. It's not about our works, but it's about taking God at His word and believing that God can make righteousness in us when there is nothing righteous inside of us. That God can give us victory, that God can enable us to overcome if we will trust Him. He can do that. That's the part of the new covenant. It's something that, not something merely that God proposes, but it's something that God accomplished through Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus Christ on the cross. Why? Because remember, there's a cutting of a covenant, right? There has to be a sacrifice. What Jesus was saying is, this is my body broken for you. In other words, I'm the sacrifice. I'm the sacrifice. I'm not only proposing the covenant, but I'm the sacrifice. And just like in the synaptic, there was a sprinkling of blood that was on the people. So He said, this cup is the covenant of my blood. Every time you drink, you do in remembrance of me. Why? Because the blood did two things. It proposes two things. The problem is that people were separated from God, and this new covenant solves two problems. First, it solves guilt. The problem of guilt because of sin, Jesus solved by shedding His own blood, taking a guilt upon Himself. He says, I will forgive their iniquity. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. I will provide forgiveness for the guilt that you feel. Are you struggling with guilt going into the new year? Maybe something you did last night that you know you shouldn't have and you came to church this morning. Jesus forgives if you will be humble enough to say, God, I repent of my sin. I believe You. I trust You, Jesus. You are my righteousness. I need Your blood sprinkled upon me. I need Your blood to make me pure. And second is rebellion. Rebellion, that's the tendency. Our tendency is to run from God. The human nature is to try to run from God, to try to do it our own way. We don't have anything in us that wants to obey. But see, when God writes His law on our heart, when the Holy Spirit is inside of us, there is a new desire inside of us, a desire to do what is right, a desire to follow God, a desire not to rebel against God, but to want to fall down and say, oh God, I surrender and I need You. I need You. Ezekiel 36:27 puts the new covenant commitment like this. He says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances. I will put my spirit in you. See, part of the new covenant is the Holy Spirit. See, it wasn't just the sprinkling of the blood on the outside, but the sign of the covenant, the symbol, the sign of the blood, of the wine, of the cup, is that we take it and we take it within us. Why? It's the new wine. The new wine. We need the Holy Spirit within us. We need the Holy Spirit in us, empowering us and enabling us to do what we couldn't do on our own. And the visible sign, circumcision with Abrahamic covenant, Sabbath with Sinai, synaptic covenant, is communion, the Lord's table, that reminds us of the new covenant. That every time we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we remember what Jesus did. And we do so, what? Until He comes. Because it's a reminder of the promise that God keeps His promises and that He's coming back again for a church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb, that we who believe say, I can be forgiven, hallelujah. It's a new day. I'm a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. This table is a reminder of what Jesus Christ has done. It's a reminder of the covenant that God has made with you and I. And a covenant that God empowers us and gives us the ability that we don't have on our own to be able to walk in newness of life. I want to close with one final verse. I want to ask those that are coming and are going to help serve. We're going to do it a little bit different this morning. I want to do it a little bit different. But Hebrews chapter 13, 20 and 21, as they come, tells us of the work that the blood, Jesus' blood and His Holy Spirit does in us. It says, now may the God of peace who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's the resurrection. Jesus isn't dead, He's alive. Because He's alive, He gives us new life. It says, now may the God of peace who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. Look at this. By the blood of the what? Eternal covenant. By the blood of the eternal covenant. Now what does that do? What does that do? Here it is. Equip you with every good thing that you may do His will. Equip you with everything good that you may do His will. Working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Notice the blood of the eternal covenant. What does it do? It equips you and I. It equips you and I to do what we couldn't do. It equips you and I to be able to obey God. It equips you and I to be able to follow His word. It equips you and I to be able to come into His presence and find help in our time of need. It empowers us. And we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit so that we can, in this new year, we can keep the covenant with Jesus Christ.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's Word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.